For our fact-checking program, actually, AI-generated content is eligible for fact-checking. So fact-checkers can review and rate AI-generated content that are consequential to users and public discourse. And we know a lot of partners have rated that content. I'd say the type of content is not necessarily new. We've been dealing with manipulated media for years, whether it's audio, image, or video, and fact-checkers have been fact-checking it. What's new is what you had pointed out earlier, which is the ability to just quickly create this content.
This is Click to Trust, a podcast that delves into the intricate challenges of protecting online communities. In the last episode of Click to Trust, Tom Siegel spoke with Katie Haworth, the Chief Global Affairs Officer at Duco Experts, about some of the approaches social media platforms are using to address misinformation and how helpful those efforts are. In this episode, we'll hear from Karishma Shah, Program Manager in charge of News Integrity Partnerships at Meta. In our interview, Karishma shared the behind-the-scenes look at how major online platforms like Facebook and Instagram are tackling misinformation and keeping their users safe. Hi, Karishma. Super excited to have you on the podcast today. Could you give a quick introduction about yourself and why you're here today?
Thanks for having me. Also, I'm really excited to talk to you today. My name is Karishma. I'm a program manager at Meta. I support our fact-checking programs across Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and I also lead our WhatsApp fact-checking program. I've always been passionate about employing data, technology, and partnerships to address complex trust and safety challenges such as misinformation. So I've been fortunate to be able to work on it at Meta and also in my previous jobs, and I'm excited to talk to you about it today.
I'm really excited to talk to you as well. Fact-checking is such an important piece of the puzzle when it comes to fighting misinformation and disinformation online. And this is part of a series where we're talking about all of this in the year of all elections. A lot of elections going on this year. But before we go into that, what is fact-checking? What does that entail?
Firstly, I'd say fact-checking organizations are typically nonprofits. Small newsrooms are arms of larger newsrooms, and they're set up for the purpose of fact-checking, which involves writing articles or reports on the veracity or accuracy of claims spreading online. At Meta, we specifically partner with fact-checking organizations certified by the International Fact-Checking Network, which I'll speak about much more often, so I'm just going to refer to them as IFCN, most likely. Moving forward, these fact-checking organizations in our program, their work occurs independently from us and usually involves a variety of things such as calling sources, consulting public data, authenticating images and videos, which is also ever more important with the rise of AI-generated content and more. So this is at a high level what I'd say fact-checking is and what fact-checking organizations are.
What does it look like when you're checking if something is real or not? What does that process look like? Is it a similar process for all types of data, or does it look different across the board?
That's a great question. So it varies based on the types of media. So for example, for videos, there could be like a large number of claims in a given video. So a fact checker will have to sit and listen to, if they're looking at a 40-minute video, like really listen to the types of claims that are spreading for them to fact check it. Whereas for images and audios, for images, you could do a reverse image search. There's a lot of just investigative journalism that is involved in just checking the veracity of this content. So I'd say it varies based on the media type. It also varies based on the facts that are emerging and changing on a given topic. So there may be new information in the coming days, or there isn't sufficient information initially. So they have to do a lot more work in digging, which involves calling sources as well to get the information they need to fact check those sorts of claims.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I'm really curious, what's the balance between human and machine effort when it comes to fact checking?
I work specifically on the fact checking program. So we work through our fact checking partners. They are the ones writing the articles. I mean, I can go more deeper into like how exactly it works, but we do match to near identical and identical pieces of content that fact checkers have rated. So there is that like scaling of their fact checking work that we do across our platform, specifically Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. WhatsApp is a private messaging service, and so our approach there is slightly different. I'm happy to talk about that as well. but we do scale based on fact checker ratings and labels.
And could you share some interesting numbers with us? Like how many pieces of content get fact checked per day or week? How much of that gets taken down, etc.?
Yeah, I'm happy to share a few stats. Firstly, on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads program, we partner with nearly 100 fact-checking organizations covering 60 languages globally. We know that from July to December 2023, actually over 68 million pieces of content viewed in the EU on Facebook and Instagram had the fact-check labels on them. We also know that users find value in these labels. We had surveyed our users who had seen these labels on platform, and 74% of them had found that they were sufficient, and many of them actually wanted to see more false information labels, and 63% of those had found that they were applied fairly. Those are some stats on our Facebook, Instagram, Threads program, and then on our WhatsApp program, just to add some parallels, we partner with over 50 fact-checking organizations in nearly 50 countries. We use WhatsApp's products, everything from the business platform, formerly known as the API, WhatsApp channels, and the WhatsApp small business app, and users are able to message them to get potential misinformation fact-checked. So over there, we do work with over 50 organizations globally on that.
Could you explain how these programs are different from Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp?
At a high level, through our program on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we surface potential misinformation to our fact-checking partners through a fact-checking tool or fact-checking dashboard that we have. And fact-checkers also, like, if they've seen misinformation claims spreading across our platforms through other ways, they're able to also proactively identify it so that they can fact-check it themselves across our platforms. What they do is they apply a rating to that content, indicating whether the content is, for example, false, partially false, altered, and then they attach their fact check article that we spoke about earlier that they have written to debunk the claim that's in the piece of content. These ratings then enable us, Meta, to enforce on that content. So we'll reduce the distribution of that content. We will also do that for the near identical and identical pieces of content, which I also mentioned earlier in terms of like the scaling context, which significantly reduces the number of people who see that content. And then we also include a link to the fact check article on the warning label or warning screen. If they were to see it, they'll get additional context and information on why they're seeing it and what specifically in that piece of content is false, for example. So that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Again, because WhatsApp is a private messaging service, the approach is different. We can't see what the content is. And so our fact-checking partnerships play a central role in empowering users and ensuring they have access to reliable and accurate information. That goes to the use case that you were referring to just before this, which is from there, users can flag potential misinformation directly to fact-checking organizations by sending them a message. They have their own tip lines and staff who staff these tip lines, and fact-checking organizations will reply with a debunk article or a fact-check article. We use those anonymously, but they're the same fact-check article or debunk article. So those are our two programs, and we're all constantly innovating and improving it based on fact-checker feedback and also new challenges that may come with tackling misinformation together.
It's really interesting to be able to understand the process and what goes into it. So you mentioned how Meta works with essentially hundreds of independent fact-checking organizations. Why is it so important that you are working with independent fact-checking organizations and not doing it in-house, let's say?
We don't believe that ultimately companies like ours should decide what's true or false. So this is why we partner with these third-party fact-checking organizations who identify and review viral misinformation. As I mentioned, our fact-checking partners are certified by the International Fact-Checking Network, IFCN, and that is a very rigorous certification process. It's supervised by independent assessors and then verified by IFCN's board of advisors. And we partner with them because it's an indicator and gives us confidence in the organization's impartiality and independence, because they have to subscribe to a code of principles, and some of the principles in it relate to transparency of methodology, transparency of sources, having an open and honest corrections policy, also being nonpartisan and fair. So there are a host of principles that they have to subscribe and adhere to as they are also going through the certification process and also after that. And then in our program, they are able to ultimately choose what they choose to fact check. And if someone, like a user, disagrees with their rating, they will process a request review for them and will have that appeals process with the fact checking organization. So it comes down to ultimately, we don't believe that companies like ours should determine what's true and false. And there are these awesome fact checking organizations who are doing great work to fact check content. So partnering with the IFCN certified fact checkers is a critical part of our program.
I had no idea there were so many fact checking organizations. That's fascinating.
There are many, many fact checking organizations, even more than those who are in our program currently.
And why do we need fact checking? There's been a lot of conversations about content moderation online, and why do we even need these types of organizations in our platforms?
Yeah, that's a great question, and also relates to our just broader misinfo strategy at Meta. I think there's a unique challenge with respect to misinformation. There are potentially an infinite number of claims in the world that could be false, partially false, a variety of those. So there's no way that like Meta or anyone for that matter could create a comprehensive list and address them all. And sometimes I alluded to this earlier, like facts are emerging or changing, making it so much harder to address misinformation. So fact checkers specifically fall under our reduce strategy for misinformation. And I'll actually talk about maybe all three of them so you can see how they work together. So we do believe that giving people a voice on our platforms is paramount, but we also have to balance that with like the safety risks of misinformation being spread online. And so the way we do balance it is through our remove, reduce, and inform strategy. We remove misinformation when experts assess it would likely be directly to contribute to the risk of imminent physical harm. And we also remove content that is likely directly to contribute to the interference of the functioning of political processes. Like in determining what constitutes misinformation in these categories, we partner with independent experts who possess knowledge and expertise to assess the truth of the content and whether or not it's likely to lead to harm. So for example, we partner with human rights organizations with a presence on the ground in a country to determine the truth of a rumor as it relates to a civil conflict. And we also partner with health organizations during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, getting to your initial question of like, why is fact checking important? There is a host of universe of misinformation. So for all other misinformation that doesn't fall into the categories for removal that I just mentioned, we focus on reducing its prevalence or creating an environment that fosters a productive dialogue through directing users to authoritative information. And so that's where a fact-checking program comes in. And we know, for example, that people use misinformation in harmless ways, such as to exaggerate a point like, this team has the worst record in the history of a sport, or like in a humorous or a satirical way, like my husband just won husband of the year. And so the focus of our program for fact checking is on the most viral and consequential claims. And so they're a key part of that strategy to make sure that we're addressing the most viral and consequential claims and that we reduce the distribution and the people who actually see that content and then get authoritative information if they do end up seeing the label.
Yeah, totally. COVID is a really good example. There was so much information at the time, and it was such a novelty what was going on that it was really hard to tell what was real or false. In 2022, the International Fact-Checking Network, IFCN, as you've mentioned before, launched a legal support fund to provide financial assistance to fact-checking orgs that are facing threats of harassment, intimidation, and litigation. Why do fact-checkers face harassment and online abuse?
We actually partnered with IFCN to launch that legal support fund that you mentioned. And it's because we know that fact-checkers face a number of threats off-platform, including everything from harassment to intimidation to litigation. And the Legal Support Fund has been part of this like ongoing effort we have to connect them with the resources they need to mitigate these risks so that they can also continue their fact-checking work. They may face offline as well as online abuse for their fact-checking work. Particularly, I've noticed this happens when individuals strongly disagree with their fact check or just overall are opposed to fact checking work. And so this is why we have funds, and we also have policies and products in place that support fact checker safety online and offline. I'm happy to talk about that really quickly. So we do have policies in place that outline both behavior and content that we don't allow on our platforms. You know, partners that face bullying and harassment online. So when content violates these policies, we remove it. We also have products that support securing their accounts and pages, and also have ways for them to report abuse that they're experiencing, and then also moderate who engages with their content. So the Legal Support Fund is part of our programmatic work to provide ongoing support, but there's also products and policies that we have in place to support fact checker safety that they unfortunately have to have due to kind of the public nature of their work and how they're experiencing this harassment as a result of it.
And are we seeing more misinformation now that we're going through 2024 and there's elections compared to when there are no major events going on?
I can't speak to that directly. I'm not sure what the numbers are. I think in my experience, I've typically seen misinformation spreading when there's like an information gap or lack of information about a topic, where things may change and shift over time, as we saw with COVID-19 and some of the early days of the various ongoing wars, where one thing may be true 1 minute, but not the next. And it's also hard to verify what's going on the ground. So I don't know the exact numbers of like misinformation as it relates to the past, but I can say like misinformation will typically spread when there is an information gap.
Is it more challenging when it comes to political topics because of different opinions and like people believing their opinions are the truth?
Opinion content is not eligible for rating in our fact-checking program. So they would not be looking at that sort of content.
How will fact-checking change, or how is it already changing in the face of AI-generated content? So obviously, not only AI-generated content obviously poses a lot of challenges because there is more content being created, more false content can be created, but it can also be used as a way to identify that content. Can you talk a little bit about that?
For our fact-checking program, actually AI-generated content is eligible for fact-checking. So fact-checkers can review and rate AI-generated content that are consequential to users and public discourse. And we know a lot of partners have rated that content. I'd say the type of content is not necessarily new. We've been dealing with manipulated media for years, whether it's audio, image, or video, and fact-checkers have been fact-checking it. What's new is what you had pointed out earlier, which is the ability to just quickly create this content and do it more easily. And so one risk I'd see with that related to elections potentially is like users using these tools to create content that is synthesized beyond adjustments for clarity or quality and could like risk misleading users about something that was said or happened during an election. And that could be a big risk that could happen during elections this year, more broadly on other topics as well, but particularly on elections. And we're constantly adapting to stay on top of these challenges as well.
That relates to my next question, which is that news came out that 20 major tech companies, including Meta, signed an agreement aimed at mitigating the risk that artificial intelligence will disrupt elections in 2024. Can you talk a little bit about that and what efforts are being made to fight the spread of misinformation during the elections?
There are a number of initiatives underway across the company. I can speak to a few of them to fight misinformation during the election. Firstly, again, we are partnering with fact checkers on this. They are rating AI-generated content through our program. We also recently announced we'll soon begin labeling images that users share on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads when we have like industry standard indicators that they're AI-generated. So this would be the invisible watermarks and other metadata. And then we're also, for like advertisers, we recently began requiring them to disclose whether or not when they create an ad, they digitally created or altered it, a political or social issues ad specifically. So that's our approach this year during elections. We expect to learn more about how people are creating and sharing AI content, what sort of transparency they ultimately find valuable and like understand, and how these technologies evolve as the year progresses. But our approach to the election this year is multifold, and those are just some of the initiatives that we're doing at this time.
What I found really interesting about this is that it is actually 20
different big tech companies that signed this agreement. There are already a ton of initiatives that each company itself was undertaking. Why is it important that there's some sort of collaboration and or some sort of agreement that we're going to help fight this year?
I think these sorts of industry collaborations are very important because all these companies that are creating their own AI content generative technologies will be the ones who are able to put in that metadata and that information that we need across platforms to be able to know whether or not content was created with AI. And we at Meta specifically believe that transparency is very important for our users so that they know that like AI is involved. So having this metadata as part of these partnerships is so critical to be able to inform our users on our platforms about what they're seeing that may not have been generated through a Meta AI feature, for example.
That's really good news. So for smaller tech companies that maybe don't have such a big grasp yet on fact-checking, but they are growing and they have user-generated content, what advice would you give to safety teams to start approaching it? Or do you think they should care about misinformation? How would you advise them?
I think if they are user-generated content platforms and they're facing the threat of misinformation or there's a prevalence of misinformation on it, I do believe that there should be some sort of approach to addressing it. And one way to learn more about how you might do it is through looking at the strategies of similar companies. So if you're primarily a video sharing platform, you might look at what YouTube is doing or what Instagram is doing or TikTok is doing. I think fact checkers play a critical role in addressing misinformation. They're one of the interventions that you'll see across companies and also academia and like research papers to tackle misinformation. So you could always go to the International Fact Checking Network website, learn more about their work, and also just speak to a few fact checkers to see how it could be relevant for your platform as well. I do think it's very important. Like misinformation is a challenge that a number of platforms are facing. And so having some sort of strategy to be able to address it and ensure that users are safe online is critical to work that and also society.
What about for users themselves? Like, what advice would you have for a typical user of Facebook, Instagram to learn a bit more about protecting themselves from misinformation?
Firstly, I think identification is important. So, like, just media literacy on how you can even spot misinformation. We have a bunch of public resources. We have our Transparency Center through which they can learn more about like when they'll see a label and why they're seeing it to know that, okay, the label is an indicator that this is misinformation. There are also a number of fact checking organizations who are doing a bunch of media literacy initiatives, including on the WhatsApp tip line. Several of them have media literacy games to help users see different photos and gauge whether or not which one of those is misinformation. So I think there are a number of courses you can take or just reading more up on what misinformation is, how to spot it, how to verify it, that could help folks become more literate and more able to find and understand what they're seeing when they are on various platforms.
I wanted to ask about the people behind the spread of this information, specifically disinformation. I feel like often people don't understand that there are certain groups who are actively trying to spread information that's false and that's going to lead to harm. How is that tackled?
Firstly, I just want to call out the distinction you made between mis and disinfo. So the focus of my work is on misinformation, though I've heard mis and disinformation used interchangeably. And what you described as disinfo is how we see it as well, which is disinformation has the intent to deceive, whereas for misinfo, user may be unintentionally spreading false information. That would be considered misinformation. I do not work on that area, though we do have colleagues working on disinfo and looking at like these networks that they're finding online that are proliferating generally propaganda or other sorts of false information narratives to intentionally mislead and deceive users.
Is there anything you'd like our listeners to know that you wanted to share or haven't been able to share yet, or any advice you want to leave people with?
If you're looking to get something fact-checked, like please do reach out to our WhatsApp fact-checking partner tip lines. They're very happy to help assess like during the elections, if you're seeing anything that you'd like to get fact-checked, like, they can be one of your resources to find out and get additional information on what you're seeing. So I think that's a helpful step to take if you would like to get some sort of content verified or debunked. So I appreciate it. And I have enjoyed this conversation, Karma. Thanks for having me here.
It's been great. And we'll make sure to add all those links in our description. All right. Thank you, Karishma.
Thank you.
Next time on Click to Trust, we'll hear from computational sociologist Tom Davidson about the impact of social media on politics and how populist parties are using online spaces to their advantage.
Yeah, so I think hate speech might be an extreme example here. I mean, certainly we've seen with some of, for example, Donald Trump's discourse on Twitter, where he's very directly attacking political opponents, criticizing people, calling them names. That type of appeal seems to really generates a lot of engagement. And there are still questions about exactly what the mechanisms are, right? Some of this is going to be driven by supporters of Donald Trump who really agree with the message. But also there are arguments that perhaps other people going and commenting and arguing and perhaps critiquing what politicians are saying, this still is counted as engagement, which then attracts algorithmic amplification.